This is the Dakota Free Press podcast, and we're here with a real journalist, Bob Mercer from Pierre. How are you today, Bob?
I'm doing well. And you?
I'm doing fine, thank you. And you've come to Aberdeen. Thanks for coming to town. We'll talk about your lengthy career so far in journalism, but today in Aberdeen, if I understand it, you're not doing journalism. You're getting recognized by your fellow journalists. You got a Distinguished Service Award, correct?
That is correct, yes.
What does a guy have to do to get distinguished like that?
Well, they recognize me for longevity, to be candid. I'm one of a few reporters left in Pierre. We've seen the closure of the Rapid City Journal Bureau. We've seen the closure of the Argus Leader Bureau. When I moved to Pierre in 1985-86, we had a half dozen to a dozen year-round reporters.
Wow.
And now we're down to two. So
two, you and the AP,
James James Nord of the AP.
Yep. Sure, of the Associated Press. Right. Yeah. Well, so I guess just hanging in there is something that speaks for itself. It's certainly award worthy, and this award comes from the
South Dakota Newspaper Association.
Right. They're having their convention here in Aberdeen this weekend.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Well, let's talk about that career then. This very long and award worthy career. Back to the beginning, why did you enter journalism as your career? And did you expect it to be a career this long?
Well, you know, when I was in high school, I had a teacher named Mrs. Pfau, P-F-A-U, and she steered me toward the student newspaper when I was a junior or senior.
And this was where?
In Jefferson, Wisconsin.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah. And a town of 5,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
So I started writing a little bit for the student newspaper at the school, at the high school, and they then steered me into journalism in college. And I began at the University of Wisconsin at Oshkosh, and went there for three semesters, and then ran out of money, and so I moved home. And went to continued at the University of Wisconsin Whitewater, and Whitewater was less than 20 minutes away from my hometown. So I vacillated between teaching English and journalism, and at one point they tried to steer me into special education, and I didn't want to go there, but. Eventually, I wound up in journalism, and I took my degree, my bachelor degree in journalism, and my minor was in English. And coming out of college, then I took a job sight unseen in Rawlins, Wyoming, which is home to a daily, and as a sports editor, or the sports editor. And I lasted there about 6 months.
Okay.
And
doing sports, not Wyoming politics. You started in sports there.
I started in sports.
It was high school football, all that was going on.
Yeah, exactly. And then they let me go. They fired me. Don Peterson fired me. And I think part of it was what I saw later was that whenever somebody was coming up on their six-month anniversary, Don would let him go.
Huh.
But, you know, that's, and I think he's long gone, but because I was surprised by the number of people around or within Wyoming, in Wyoming's newspaper industry, who called me. And after they heard that I was let go and expressed condolences and wanted to help me out. Where I wound up next was Saratoga, which was a temporary job.
Is that also Wyoming?
That's in Wyoming. Yep. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's like 7,000 feet elevation.
Mm-hmm.
And Dick Perdue was the publisher's name. Candy Moulton was the editor, and and I was the reporter. And that's where I won my first award, for a series on water rights, ranches selling water rights. And from there I went to the Douglas, Wyoming budget, worked for John Ryder, and John was the consummate newspaper man. And he gave us, gave me kind of free rein. And I stayed there for 3 years and then went to, or came up to Aberdeen to interview and then was hired. And, you know, one of the things I wanted to do was cover state government and politics.
That was your interest when you came to Aberdeen?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And so what occurred next was this. I worked for 2 years in the newsroom, and in 1985, during legislative session, I went down and covered session and then came back to Aberdeen. And then in 1986, again, I did the same thing, and I lived out of a motel while I was there. You know, and in 1986, people began to notice what I was doing. And I remember, you know, a couple of reporters talking to me about, from other papers or other news outlets, talking to me about, you know, what a good job we had done on a special section. In those days, Aberdeen published what they called the Progress Edition, and it was a way to sell ads in the wintertime, but it was also a way to highlight or showcase the reporters. And so we did that. I came back to Aberdeen at the end of session, and near the end of, after the November election, I was, I guess I'd say confronted, because I'd been pressing to go to Pier and you know, open a bureau, because that was one of the things that was promised to me when, or promised, maybe is too strong of a word, but indicated to me that's where Aberdeen would like to go next.
And that the Aberdeen paper itself, this isn't the association or anything, paper wanted to have a peer bureau at that time.
And so I was talking to the Argus leader, frankly, at the same time, because they wanted me to replace their reporter who had left.
Sure.
The management at Aberdeen wanted to know whether I'd been talking to the Argus leader. You know, and I, frankly, I said no. What they asked me was, have you accepted a job with the Argus leader? Mm-hmm. And I hadn't accepted it yet, so I said no. Mm-hmm. And, but then I also said, but are you going to give me a position in Pier?
Right.
And they said yes, and so that was the turning point. So at the end of 1986, in December of 1986, Harold Higgins, who was the publisher at that time, and Aberdeen was a Knight Ridder paper at that time, drove me in a company van down to Pier, and I've been there since.
Wow.
Yeah.
So when you came, you said you wanted to cover state government. That was your interest at that point. Can you say why that was your interest over the other, you know, city government, sports, out, you know, all the things that could be covered at a paper? Why state government?
You know, I'm not clear anymore. I saw it as a niche, and. You know, I felt I could have an impact there, doing doing that. I thought I could do it as well or better than the people who were in Pierre. Mm-hmm. I guess that would be the reason why.
Sure. And you said that early on, when you were out there in Pierre, the first session or two that you were covering, you were getting recognized by others. Yeah. They liked what you were doing.
Yeah.
You said there were more Pierre reporters at that time. What do you think was distinguishing your work from what had happened before?
Well, I think I think there were several things. I was innovative. B, I had integrity. And I don't know that I felt like the others, some of the others did. There were good reporters there. Chet Brokaw, fantastic, reporter.
He was Associated Press at that time?
He was Associated Press, at that time. And retired an AP man.
Yeah.
But AP through the years had gone from having two full-time year-round reporters, a third reporter during session, an intern during session, a photographer during session, and a person to run the office during session, to one reporter by the end.
Wow.
And that's all.
Doing all of that and the photos.
Yes, exactly.
Wow.
And they also put a limit on his hours. Mm-hmm. Chet had unlimited overtime, and at the beginning it was Bob Emery. Second incarnation it was Joe Kufka. Mm-hmm. The first indication I had that AP was pulling back was that they let Joe Kufka go. AP let Joe Kufka go. Mm-hmm. Joe, however, landed on his feet, and probably, I don't know that he saw a raise, but he at least saw an even amount of salary, and AP made much more money than I did.
Sure.
Just because they had a contract, a union contract or a guild contract. Chet hung in there, but Joe wasn't replaced. And so I realized this is not headed the right way. In the meantime, a few years prior to that, the Argus Leader had closed its bureau. Mm-hmm. They let Terry Wooster go.
In what time frame are we in there?
We're in the mid-2000s.
Yeah, yep, okay.
And before that, I had gone from from Aberdeen and changed, all I changed was my modem number, to the Rapid City Journal.
Okay.
And so that was in 2002, at the end of, it was after the election in 2002. And so from 2003 through, I'm sorry. 1992.
Ah, okay.
1992. Yep. So the change from Aberdeen to Rapid City took place in 1990, at the end of 1992. And then I was with the Rapid City Journal from 1993 to 1998.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Rapid City at that time paid overtime.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember going in during legislative session and working all day on Saturday just to catch up.
Right, right.
And I got paid for it.
I thought overtime was part of the job. Yeah. I didn't think you could report without it.
Yeah, it's hard to say. Mm-hmm. you end up in this business working a lot of unusual hours. You know, there was good leadership at the Journal. Mm-hmm. Joe Carius was the editor at the time. Joe Carius hired me, and Joe had tried, for some time to hire me, and finally I decided it was time to make the move, and so I went to work for him, and then Joe was followed by Peg Sagan. And in the meantime, the Journal publisher became John Van Strydock, and John, some people saw him as arch conservative. I was fine with John. I think John had principles, and he once drove to Pierre to meet with me to tell me that I didn't get a certain job. Mm-hmm. And and then at the end he asked me if I wanted to go out and see the engine in his Mercedes. and Peggy, she was still there when I made the move to work for Bill Janklow.
Mm-hmm. Stay tuned for part two of my conversation with Bob Mercer as he tells us about his 4 years in the Bill Janklow administration. Bob will tell us about his unusual role as a press secretary turned policy advisor. He'll tell us about the day he quit the Janklow administration, and he'll tell us what happened when he came back to Janklow's office 3 days later on September 11th. 2001. All that and more next time on Dakota Free Press.